All right, so today we're going to be talking about God's amazing choices, more following his sovereignty and his plan for our lives and how we respond to that. So the definition of sovereignty is the quality or state of being sovereign, the status, domain, or power or authority. And a quote I got with it is, God's sovereignty gives him the absolute freedom to do what he does in his blessings and showing compassion to frail and temporal humanity. So it's God's choice for our lives, and it's our decision if we're going to follow it or disobey. So we're going to be looking at three lives of young people in the Bible that were called by God and responded. And this message was like directed more for the younger people, but God's word can speak to anyone. So, so the three people we're going to be looking at is Mary, the mother of Jesus, King David, and Queen Esther. We're going to be looking at three aspects of their lives. First, God's favor, how that was shown in their lives through Scripture. Their obedience or submission or faith to Christ and his calling on their life. And their response to their personal situation. How do they respond to God's calling? So God chooses us with his grace because we can't do anything good apart from him. And it's like our choice to respond to him either in a positive way, in the way we should, or to back away and say, no, I can't do this because look at me, you know, I'm a human, I'm sinful, I'm not bold enough, I'm too scared, I'm not good enough for you, God. But we're not the message God is. So he uses our weaknesses, he uses our strengths, he uses everything combined with him to get his will across. And just this message is proof of that because this is only my second year at retreat and I never even thought I would be going to a women's retreat, but here I am and now I'm speaking. And this is the first time I've ever done it, so it's just like, this is proof to me and should be proof to other people, like young people, that God has a plan for your life and you can respond to it in a positive way or you can ignore it. And we're going to be focusing on people's positive aspects, so I don't want anyone to feel discouraged or, oh, I can't do this. So I kind of just have a cool illustration to share with you guys. So these are just people God used in the Bible, but these are their lives. David had an affair and he was a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. John the Baptist ate bugs. Peter denied Christ 3 times. The disciples fell asleep while praying. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. Paul was too religious. Timothy had an ulcer. And Lazarus was dead. And you can't get any more worse than that than being dead. But he was still used by God, so there's no excuses. God can use you to your full potential. Besides, you aren't the message, you are just the messenger. So God looks at the interior and sees us as we are through Christ. He doesn't see what we see. So let's just pray. Dear Lord, I come before you and I just thank you for this retreat, Father God. I pray that that your word would just speak to us, Father God, that it would encourage us, Father God, that we would see that it's all about you, Lord, that it's nothing to do with us, that you choose us, that it's our choice to respond to you, Father God, that you give us your favor, Lord, that so that we can do these things. And I just pray for everyone here, Father God, that the choices they make would be honoring to you, Father God, that the choices they make would be in your name and that they would be following after you, Lord. And I just, again, thank you for this retreat, and I pray that it would just be your words here today. Amen. Okay, so first we are going to be talking about Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary was just a normal girl. She was actually betrothed, engaged to her husband. And she was a poor, normal girl living life, like all of us, right? And so, but God had an amazing plan for her. God chose her to Christ. And I would want to be a person to live a life that God would even think of me of being able to do that. And it's not that Mary was this great, awesome person. I mean, she was, but it was God's favor in her life that he allowed her to do this miracle. And so the definition of favor is an act of gracious kindness. God chooses to put his favor on us because he loves us, not because we're so great, not because we have this talent or that talent, but it's God's choice. The life of Mary, we can see God's favor in her. So we can turn to Luke 1. So Luke 1, 28 to 31, the context is the angel Gabriel has come to Mary to tell her that she's going to give birth to the Messiah. So in verse 28, it says, "And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. The angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God.'" And we don't always know why God puts his favor on us, but he chooses us for certain reasons. And it may not be the most qualified person like we saw in the illustration, but it's God's choice. It's his gracious kindness towards us. Also in Luke, as Mary goes to visit her relative Elizabeth, Elizabeth tells her, "Highly favored one above all other women." And like, what a great title that is, but Mary didn't take that in a prideful way. She took that in a humble way. She accepted what God told her. She had the faith and she believed that she was going to give birth to the Messiah, which is crazy. You know, she's a virgin. She even told the angel, you know, "How can I do this? I've never been with a man." But it was through God's gracious kindness that he allowed this. Also in Deuteronomy 7:7, God is talking about Israel and why he chose them. And he said, "I chose you because you were the least. You were not the best, you were not the greatest." So God can choose the weakest person. God can choose you being in your weak flesh, and he can bring favor into your life. And through that, you can bring honor back to him. And just an example of favor would be if you actually like kids, you like hanging out with them, you like talking to them, they respond well to you, then go into ministry, go into teaching the children, because God has put that relationship with you and those kids, you can use that. And it's just like an easy way. It's not like it has to be a grand thing, because everything to the Lord is precious if you do it in his name. So my second point with Mary is her faith. I just have a little quote. "Faith looks at the difficulties and scarce looks to God. Strong faith looks to God and does not see the difficulties." So an angel came to Mary and said, "You're going to give birth to Christ." And at first, she was like, "Why is this angel coming to me? I don't understand." You know, she asked him, like, "Why are you here?" And he told her. And sometimes the hardest thing is just to have faith and to believe. God can confirm it through his word. He has given us promises in his word already for each of us. He can confirm it through other people, through prayer, through worship, through anything. And we take a step back. "Oh, I can't do that. Look at me, you know, I stutter, I am ugly, I'm not able to do this, I'm too young, I'm too old." But God doesn't see that. He looks at the interior, he sees us, he sees our strengths and our weaknesses, and he can use both of those. And for me, that's the hardest thing. Just having the faith that, you know, God has given me these promises, he's giving me encouragement, and I need to believe that. You know, faith starts in initial salvation of believing, you know, Christ died for my sin. And it continues throughout your walk, and as you grow spiritually, your faith can grow. But you can still, you know, be afraid and not look at yourself and not look to God, which is where we need to look first. And that's a choice that you can make every day. Can you turn with me to Hebrews 11:6? "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So when we first come to Christ, we have to have a faith in him. Actually, I'm going to leave you with Ephesians 3:20. You don't have to turn there. I could go there. Or you can turn there if you'd like. And it says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So God can do the thing that you think the most, the best. He can do so much better. His thoughts are so much higher. He's so greater than us that he gets to use us, that when we have faith in him, we can do what he wants for us, and he can do even greater things. If we have faith in the small, he's going to reward us, and we're going to grow with more faith as things become harder. And so now we're going to look at Mary's response. You can turn to Luke 1:38. And it says, then Mary said, behold the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. So at first, Mary, we saw in verse 28, you know, she questioned, you know, why are you here? Why is this angel seeing me? And he told her, and then she said, I believe, I have faith. She responded with believing what the angel had told her. And later on in the verse, as she goes to see her relative Elizabeth, she sings a song of praise to the Lord, just saying, you know, I'm so lowly, I'm just this humble girl, this no one, but you chose me. And that's how I feel sometimes, you know, God chooses me. I'm not the best at anything, you know, I'm just me, but God uses me. And he can use you too. And it also says throughout Luke that she kept all things in her heart. When she was told these things, she didn't go out, tell her mother, oh, the angel came to me, you know, I'm going to give birth to Christ. You know, maybe her mother wouldn't have believed her. Maybe her mother or her friends could have believed her, but she kept it in her heart. Even the angel had to go to Joseph and tell him, you know, this is what's going on with Mary. So that just shows her humility in that she wasn't being prideful. She wasn't going to someone. You know, when something great happens to you, the first thing, you're texting it, you're tweeting it, telling your friends, you're already calling whoever to tell them, oh, even something so little, oh, I got an A on this report. Oh, I got my hair done, it looks really good. But I mean, this is something much better, so much greater, but she kept it in her heart. And that sometimes, in a spiritual way, we want to tell someone of our blessing or what we're going through. So people will be, oh, she's so spiritual. Oh, look at her. And that's just the pride in ourselves. And we can see through Mary, you know, she was humble. She didn't tell anyone. She didn't boast about it. And also, along with that, sometimes when, you know, God tells us something about our lives so that we're going to do, like, oh, I've chosen you to be a missionary. You need to go out and do this. And you tell your family this, they're like, no, you don't do that. Why are you going to do that? Like, even if they're Christians or not, they can push you down, and you have to say, no, this is what the Lord has told me, this is what I'm going to do. And it's hurt. Your family or your members say that, like, oh, I'm going to go to Bible college. Why are you going to go there? What's there for you? But it's Christ that is there for us. And especially just with young people, you have to focus first. You can't be a man pleaser and a God pleaser. You have to choose Christ or man. And so that's just an encouragement, you know, if that's ever happened to you, you know, you just gotta pray and tell God, you know, I'm gonna choose you first, no matter what my family. And just another illustration of this is a story my dad shared with me. There was a boy, his father and a donkey, and they were in one city and they were trying to get to another destination. So as they're walking through the first city, the little boy is sitting on the donkey. And then they hear people saying, oh, how rude, disrespectful. Why is that boy sitting? Why is the father walking? And so they keep hearing that. So the next city they go into, the father's sitting on the donkey. And then the boy's walking. They're like, that poor donkey has to carry that fat man. That's horrible. Like, why are they? Would they do this to this animal? So the next city, the father is holding the son who's holding the donkey. And how illogical is that? But when we try to please men, this is what happens. You know, we forget about what God has told us or what God has said in his word, and we start things, and it's a huge mess. So we now are going to be going, we're going to be looking at David and his life. And I just named this section, A Shepherd to a King. And God's favor in David's life, he was a man after God's own heart. You know, the Lord fell upon him as soon as he was anointed. There's a lot more about David in Scripture compared to Mary and Esther. But what I just wanted to focus on was when Samuel came, when the Lord told Samuel to come to anoint the next king because Saul had turned away from God, he told him to go to Jesse. And Samuel went to Jesse, and all his sons were there. And so Samuel thought, oh, he's so handsome, he's strong, he would be a good leader. And the Lord tells him, no, this is not the one I've chosen. You know, you look at the exterior, you see what other people see, but I look into the heart. And so he goes down the line of all his sons, and God says no to all of them. And so Samuel's kind of confused, you know, like, do you have any other sons? And Jesse says, oh, yeah, David, he's out in the field working. So they bring him in, and that's the one God chose, and he's anointed. He was the lowest, he was the weakest, he was the youngest of the brothers. And in 1 Samuel 16:13, it says, when Samuel anointed David, the Holy Spirit fell upon him from that day forward. And that's the kind of life I want to live. I want God to, the Holy Spirit to fall upon me and stay with me. I want to stay with Christ. I want to be in God's favor. And we need to come to a point and realize that God wants to use you. When David was anointed king, in the next chapter, he goes and he's on an errand for his father to bring things to his brothers who are in the war against the Philistines. And, you know, at that day, David could have said when he was anointed, I'm not doing anything. I'm the next king. You know, I'm not going to be out in the fields. I'm not going to be submissive. I'm not going to be listening to you because I'm the next king. You know, God has chosen me. No, in the next chapter, you know, he's going on an errand for his father. And when he gets there, he sees Goliath, and we all know that story, but what I wanted to focus on is, you know, David said, oh, I can take him. I'll go. I have my slingshot. I'll go. You know, I'll go with the name of the Lord, and I'll be able to defeat him because God is on my side. And Saul says, oh, no, why don't you come try on some of my armor? So David goes and he tries it on. And he's like, I don't really think this is right. And David defeats Goliath with his slingshot and his rock and his stone. And that's how we need to realize we aren't someone else. We don't need to be going on trying other people's armors on, trying their tactics, their ways. God has chose us to do it. We need to do it our way. And that's just like a crazy thing. You know, like, again, we need to come to that point and realize God wants to use you. He chose you for this, so respond to that. The next point I want to talk about with David is his submission. Like I was saying earlier, you know, he didn't just say, okay, Saul, you're out. I'm the new king. You know, the Lord is with me. You're done. You know, you have left God. No, in the next chapters, you know, the Lord leaves Saul, and Saul gets this evil spirit, and he's, like, distressed. And so David comes, and he plays the harp for Saul. This is the next anointed king serving under the present king who has left God. When you are faithful with the little, God will expound upon that. You know, it's not like God tells you, okay, you want to be a missionary? You're not just going to go out right then. You know, it takes time. You can start in little steps of just serving in other ministries. And once you're faithful with that, once you're ready and mature enough, God will get you to that point. And David had to wait like 40 plus years before he became king. You know, God gave him this promise, but he had to wait. He had to be faithful. He had to trust that what God said was true. And during this time, he was actually running from Saul, who was trying to kill him. And, you know, he could have just said, okay, I'm done. I don't want to be king. This isn't worth it. You know, I'm just going to kill Saul. I'm just going to give up. I can't take it. He served. He hid. He didn't kill Saul. There was multiple times when he could, but he said, you know, you're the king. I'll respect that. But, you know, that's our choice about how, you know, we can be patient. You know, sometimes it takes a long time, but it's worth it if you follow God's path. And so just the response of David, you know, the Lord fell upon him, and he served under Saul. You know, he had to wait 40 years. You know, he had to be submissive to the Lord's will and to Saul. It's God's timing. It's not our timing. not, okay, you told me let's do this now. You know, God has to confirm it with you. God has to tell you, this is your time, his plan, so we need to follow after that. That brings us to our next person, which is Esther. And I just love the story of Esther because, she was just this orphaned girl. Her uncle took care of her. She was a foreigner in her own country, and she became queen. And another point I just wanted to get across is that these stories that we hear in the Bible, that we see the VeggieTales movies, it's not some Disney movie, it's not a fairy tale. This is real life. Esther really did have to go risk her life. This is historical fact. This is not fiction. And sometimes I think we lose sight of that just hearing these stories over and over. We realize, oh, yeah, that was cool. God flooded the whole earth. Yeah. Hello, that's crazy. Think about it. If you just take a step back and you look, God has done so many amazing things, even in our own lives, for each of us. But sometimes, he did that. And so I just wanted to, encourage you guys just to, take a step back and realize, this is true. God really did do this. And so God's favor in Esther's life is huge. It's, the main thing about her. She was obviously beautiful, and I was, reading some books about this, about Esther, and it just said, use everything you have for God. If you're beautiful, use it for God. If you can sing, use it for God. If you can teach, use it for God. God uses our natural talents in a supernatural way. We have these things that we're good at, and we can either use them for God, or we can use them for ourselves. In the Bible, God says, tells the rich to use it for the poor. Even if you're rich, you can use that. You can use your natural talents. You can use what God has given you to bring glory back to Him. For God's favor in Esther's life, we can turn to Esther 2. So Esther 2, 8 and 9. So it was when the king's command and decree were heard, and with many young women are gathered at the citadel under the custody of Haggai, that Esther also was to the king's palace into the care of Haggai, the custodian of the women. Now the young woman pleased him, and she obtained his favor. So he readily gave beauty preparations to her, besides her allowance. Then 7 choice maidservants were provided for her from the king's palace, and he moved her and her maidservants to the best house in the house of the woman. So God gave Esther favor in the fact that this eunuch, or whatever you want to call him, the guy who was in charge of all these ladies, he found favor with her. He liked her. And obviously, a lot of beautiful people, they can either be stuck up, or beautiful people, can be nice and kind. And obviously this shows Esther's character that, she was a godly, kind woman that, this stranger would find favor with her and do all these things for her. Not only that, but the king found favor with her as well. As Esther, she followed the advice of the man had told her to wear and what to do as she met with the king. And he hadn't even seen everyone else, and he chose her just like that. He said in Esther 2, 17 and 18, the king loved Esther more than all the other women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. So he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. So he chose her, and obviously that was just God's favor in her life. She didn't really have anything to do with that. But we can see, her kindness, and we can see her obedience and her submission, that there are reasons why God can choose to have favor on you. And so for the second point, I just want to talk about her obedience. In Esther, it says she obeyed her uncle Mordecai just like she had in her home. Mordecai told her to, lie about her nationality, about who she really was, her religion. And, she could have said, no, I'm going to tell. But she listened. And it said, even when she was back at her home, not in the castle, she listened. And Mordecai, this is her father figure. So it actually works out if you listen to your parents. Sometimes they actually do have good advice, and, you know, they are there to help you, and, you know, they do love you, and sometimes that's really hard just to listen to them. But we can see in Esther's life, you know, she obeyed him, and through that, you know, she saved her entire nation. You know, she had to risk her life. You know, this is kind of going along with the point, you know, this actually really happened. You know, she had to go in front of the king, and he could have denied her, and then she wouldn't have been queen. But, you know, he had favor with her, and obviously that was God as well, and that circumstance of how he just let her come and how they, you know, just spoke. And so I just wanted to focus on her response. You can turn to Esther 4, 17 and 18. And this is when Mordecai is telling her, you know, of Haman's plans of how he wants to kill all of the Jews. I guess we can just start in 13. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, "Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish, yet you know whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this." Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go gather all the Jews who are present in the city and fast for me. Neither eat or drink for 3 days and nights, and my maidservants and I will fast likewise. And I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish." So earlier in chapter 4, as Mordecai tells her this, you know, she's fearful. She's afraid. And, you know, that's all right. That's just a human emotion. But it's what we do with that fear, what we do with that anxiety, what we do with that "I can't do that." You know, do we give that to the Lord? Or do we respond in the flesh and stay away? And we see in this verse, you know, she said, "Okay, go pray and fast." And, you know, Mordecai didn't tell her to do that. She said she told him to do that. And as she was doing also. So we can see that, you know, that she was spiritual. She was a godly person. And that was her response. You know, she was afraid, but she turned that fear into fasting and prayer. And that's so important, both of those aspects of prayer and fasting, and just turning your own emotions and giving them to God first. I wanted to share with you guys, you know, God's favor and how God can give you favor in your natural abilities, or he can just thrust it upon you for his own choice. It's his gracious kindness that he chooses. And, you know, that God wants to use you through your faults and your weaknesses, your strengths, your talents, your abilities, and that He didn't pick someone else, he chose you. So don't be afraid and don't be like, "I can't do this, I'm too young, too old, you know, I'm not mature enough." You know, God chose you, so respond correctly, because either way, God's going to get his plan across. But how much better is it that you responded and you chose God's plan? Because God's plan is so much better than what we have. You know, his thoughts, you know, he loves us so much, he sent his son, you know, his plans for us. You know, yes, there's going to be troubles. He didn't promise there wasn't. But if you're going through troubles and you're with him, it's so much better. And when you are going through the good times and you're with him, it's so much better. So I just wanted to encourage you guys in that. And I guess we can pray. Dear Lord, I come before you and I pray, Lord, that each of the ladies here was just touched by your word, Father God, because your word is so powerful, Father God. It's not the speaker or the time they put into it, Father God, but it's you alone. And I pray, Lord, that just through this weekend that you would just reveal things in our life that we need to give to you, that you would reveal things if, you know, we were afraid or timid or any "I can'ts," Father God. I pray that we would turn that to you and to "I can'ts" only because it's through you, Lord. And I just pray for the rest of this time that ladies would just feel friendships, build bonds, that they would just be blessed this time away, Father God. I pray that you would just be constant in our discussion, Father God, in our thoughts, that you would just be there with us, Father God, throughout this whole weekend. And I just lift this on your name. Amen.